There is no phone ringing, dammit!
What the hell are you talking about? Do you know what the hell she's talking about?
Now what in hell am I going to tell this boy Shaver's parents? That a substitute nurse assassinated him because she couldn't tell the doctors from the patients on the floor? My God!
Okay, you let a woman beat ya! You little tiny nothing!
Why did you move closer to me?
Don't, Bob.
His name was Jeremiah Johnson.
Norma Ray has been working since she was 16.
Jeff Goldblum is the psycho freak who's everywhere the action is.
That's outrageous!
You try one more goddamn stunt and I'll light up the fucking sky!
I'd rather die running than be left here alone.
Okay, but remember, serpentine!
Absolutely.
What a guy.
Who can fuck the lilies and the roses too?
A decade under the influence. No rules, no limits. No wonder these filmmakers changed our world.
I will turn off the TV. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of A Decade Under
the
Influence.
Don't want any distractions. Stop touching my butt.
This is the wrap-up.
It's a distraction. Nobody's
touching
my butt.
And butt touching.
I missed the looking up your butt for a dime. I mean, it happened. I was just talking over it, or one of us was.
You were.
Oh, pfft. We're supposed to be talking.
No, I know. I was going to call it out, but you were on a thing, so I just let it go.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
But we're doing it now.
We're doing it now.
And that's just one of the amazing lines in this film.
Rose, your first time through, what'd you think?
Was it your first time through? You haven't seen this movie before?
I don't think so. If Maybe. I've seen it before, it's been a long, long time. There are some things that look like kind of familiar, but that always doesn't matter, actually.
You matter.
Yeah.
What's hard with movies at this time, because New York is in so many of these movies, and like...
Right.
When you're young, like, you might not have seen the whole movie, but you might have walked in on your parents watching it or grandma watching it, or maybe you were flipping channels and saw it or something like that.
Right. Yeah, or it's long enough ago to not remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I thought it was a great movie. It's definitely like it did the job of challenging the welfare system at the time well, and in a way that still reflects on how those things work now, like where people end up getting cornered by
right.
all the different ways that everything is not actually working.
Right. Any moves I make to better myself actually make me worse.
Unless you can jump
term.
Really far ahead.
Yeah.
Like, woo! That middle really screws people
turn
over.
My mic off.
Right.
Make it
sure. Can't go to school, can't have a partner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't go to school.
Yeah. It's heavy and it catches a lot of that stuff, which is great. I don't actually, off the top of my head, I can't think of another movie that tackles these specific things as well.
Cornbread, Earl and Me?
It's like it captures cool. something different, though.
It does, but it's good.
You know, I mean, that's...
Even Cooley High.
Cooley High does a good job, but from a different perspective.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
It's from the perspective of the children.
Yeah, gets the poop on it.
Oh, yeah,
zoo.
I've seen
yeah.
Cooley
yeah.
High.
But one of the main actors is in this. Charles is in Cooley High.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, just a lot of different perspectives
for my homies
on,
who can't
on,
be here.
on similar things. But this is a... And maybe there's other ones that we've watched. I'm sure there are, but like that captures this perspective, right? It's not like someone's getting murdered. You're not being framed, you know, by the police state in this one. It's just like you're caught in this trap
did,
of welfare. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's more everyday life.
Yeah, exactly, and like simple choices, and you know what real life looks like. And she's. Everyone in this is great and doing the best they can in like every situation.
Yes, they are.
Which like yeah. I really like, right? It's not like people who are just... It's not people excelling like, oh, everything I'm doing is working out for me. It's not people who are failing. It's just like, yeah, I'm doing the things every day that I should be doing, and this is my lot because the system is set up this particular way for me.
Right. And everybody's likable, and everybody's trying,
yeah.
and everybody's like,
Yeah, there's not really a...
Despite mistakes, right? Yeah. And it makes...
That beating scene was a little rough.
It
was
makes rough. You yeah. see it wasn't how...
very likable.
Well, it's, yeah, it's not likable, but it does... Like, they do set you up to be able to understand how a person could get to a point to do such a terrible thing to another person.
Yeah.
Right. Just seeing that mirror of herself and those same choices and being so upset, like having had that conversation over and over with her.
And it's not even really necessarily that personal. It's the system. Like, the system does that to people and it causes transgenerational trauma like that.
Right.
That was something that I was thinking about a lot during this watch through that made it kind of hard to talk or comment, just like thinking, like seeing certain scenes and thinking about how that's showing up in the lives of people that I work with,
right?
And like what that has done to people through the generations, like how those things get passed down, how people end up just being so having their like traumatized alarm systems constantly going off, and how that gets programmed in as like survival and makes it, and then simultaneously also makes it so that you can't survive in a better situation.
Right.
Like, because your internal alarm system, like, you, if you grow up being taught, like, in that one scene in particular where she's having a conversation with her oldest child, and she's like, you better be scared. You better be scared all the time, because those motherfuckers out there are gonna kill you. And just, like, seeing... that, like, what that moment in the movie symbolizes, like, seeing the real world effect of it on the adults who, like, older adults now who survived that system in that time, what that psychologically did to them and how it makes it so that they can't, not that they can't, but, like, they didn't learn the skills to self-regulate, and so... like it puts the, it also ties into, you know, mass incarceration systems. It's not just the welfare system. It's right. Like the ways that all these systems are designed to keep people stuck in these cycles where they are serving the system, like, you know, either as prison labor or disenfranchised from voting, from having felonies and all that kind of stuff. Like, this psychological foundation sets people up to have problems with emotional regulation, and righteously so. Like, it's not like irrational to be so angry or to be so fearful or distrustful of people, but it also, you know, makes it so that it's very hard to get out of that life and be able to pursue opportunities.
I thought they did a really good job of like talking about that explicitly in the scene where they're in the welfare office and they're there together to like get him on paper and go through that. And Dominic, you pointed out that in the commentary is like, this doesn't actually, I don't think my character would have done this or acted like this, but they want to take you through like a very specific, like using the system for support also could be used against you and ultimately land you in jail, or, you know, there's this like welfare to prison, like direct line that can be made, for all these things. And they need to walk you through it. Right.
All of that. Yeah.
Because they're having they're getting it all on the tape. They're capturing all those moments so that like folks can, so it's explicit.
It was the same when she was talking about being like, what was she? She was talking about if she got, she had to have welfare and the job to be able to feed the kids. But if she got caught having the job and the welfare, then that was fraud and she could lose the welfare. But then if she can't feed the kids, then that's child neglect. And she's just, there's like, she's just trapped in that mm-hmm. situation. Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And don't do the things, follow the rules and you can't make it.
There's so much.
Right. Yeah. You just, you can't win.
There's such a sense of community on the bus, but the neighbor across the street, which is like that B word across the street, like who was narking on her?
Karen. Right? Are you kidding? It was Karen.
Who's Karen? Oh, a Karen. A white lady that lives in the neighborhood. Yeah.
We don't even need to know that character to know what it was.
Yeah. Now, James Earl Jones was talking about his acting in that scene, too. And also, the character of Charles, he joins the revolutionary group. I think he knows the risks that are involved.
Yeah.
He's very smart, and I like that that's in there, too, that he's very intelligent because of the way she raised him, also.
Yeah.
I love that he's trying to get out of that. I love that he's like, I'm trying not to live my life afraid. I'm trying to get out of this fucked up psychological cycle.
And getting involved.
He's trying to better himself. He's trying to, exactly.
But not just himself, right?
Yeah. Everybody, like for all of us.
He's literally mm-hmm. part of like a larger movement that's like exposing some things that are out in the open for some and hidden for others, right? Talking about 40% unemployment for black people in New York at that time, or you know, we don't want your welfare, we want fucking jobs.
Yeah,
and I love his statement that he's like, I don't want to live a life of fear and trauma. I want something better for myself.
Also,
that's going to help me survive now, but it's not going to serve me later.
Right. His scenes with the vasectomy I thought were particularly interesting, too.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was, you know, the way they two-sided that conversation was really good. Just the, you know, her being like, you know, this is what they want. They want, you know, depopulation of the black of the black populace. They want us to be like taking these opportunities away from ourselves. And he's like, yeah, and I don't want that. Like, I don't want to like be a dad. I don't want to put like people into this situation where I can't put it together for someone else. I don't want to be like, I want to be able to come at these things in a revolutionary stance and not have to worry about kids or,
right. He's like, I don't want to be that type of man. I want to be a different type of man.
Yeah.
And like all those complicated conversations about what is black manhood that were happening in that period.
I get it. I understand her point of view, too. I don't think necessarily he was kind of too young. They don't say how old he is, either. Is he 18? Is he 17?
Yeah, they don't say how old he is. He's well,
any of their ages, like, don't say.
They don't.
She's 36. He would so. Need
to be. She's 36. I'm saying of the six kids, they don't say their
right,
age.
Yeah, right.
He would. He was probably 18 if he was able to get surgery.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, and they were talking about him moving out too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. when she's moving out too, because apparently I think she's gonna have the baby.
Abdul's gonna get married.
Now that.
Well, yeah. As long as you're 16 years old, if you get pregnant, you are legally emancipated as an adult at that point.
If you get married, yeah.
No.
What?
Just pregnant.
Just pregnant. According to the system and by law, you can move out on your own as an emancipated adult at 16 if you get pregnant.
Is that state specific?
Nope.
Oh, I don't know. My that can't mother be got, federal. My birth mother got pregnant with me. She was 15, and she... Her parents had to sign all the forms. And,
but that's,
know, that's 15.
Yeah. Never but she was 16, 16 when she had me.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, they had to sign these you know, these forms for me. And it wasn't anything she wanted to do. She didn't give consent. They just signed them.
Whoa.
Wow.
They were gonna adopt
well,
that
but
kid.
Also, when you were born, there were still... anti-race mixing laws where underage mothers who had mixed race babies were not allowed to keep them by law. Unless they were over 18, they could, but they could not as an underage person.
Yeah. It was illegal at the time to get an abortion, but then she got pregnant again and went to Wisconsin and got an illegal one.
Hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking, though, when I was watching when she slaps him, it was like, okay, you know, but when she's beating on Charlene, I was like, while we were doing the commentary, you know, to tack on to what you were saying earlier, I was just focusing on the clock radio because... It was also very rough to watch, you know.
And yeah.
Some of that, she's like, you know, when you get that mad or whatever, you're not in your head or whatever. So, but she was also saying, you know, I'm trying to make you tough to survive, but it's also like, she's also, they were saying in the commentary, she was also beating up on herself because of what happened to her. Yes. And it reminded me, because my dad used to, he was like the coolest person, but he also, because they were dealing with racism in this film, but in my life, he was dealing with homophobia because he was in the closet and he was gay, and he did a lot of beating on his kids too. And I forgive him, and I thought he was the coolest person ever, but like that happened a lot.
Right.
And it's just, it can be very complicated because it's tied in. I also have empathy for how difficult it was for him in a small town.
Right.
Right.
You know, which is something you can give someone later, but that's not, it doesn't excuse it. And
you're right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I gave it later.
Right.
I think there's that, and I think there's also like the race factor is that like that our society teaches everyone, not just black people, that that black people need more discipline, and that is reinforced in all of our media, all of our social norms, just like everywhere. Black people need stricter rules and more like
punk rock.
Brutal discipline. And those were, what's interesting about that racist phenomena is that one was intentionally made. Like, there was literally slave owners sat down for a fucking meeting because they were worried about abolitionists, and they said, we need to think of what kind of political narratives we need to come up with in order to keep our slaves and keep the system as it is. And that was one of the things that they came up with in that meeting, and the fucking meeting notes are still archived to this fucking day.
That's wild.
And like that was also used, so post, like after the abolition of slavery, then it was used to justify keeping slave labor via the prison system and all of that, and then that has like just stayed in our cultural fucking zeitgeist since that time.
Yeah.
And is now like reflected in, you know, how we treat black children in schools, how people are expected to raise black children, like how black people are treated in general. Like, black people are not allowed to make mistakes without the punishments being like extraordinarily over the top strict.
I mean, I guess it makes sense that it, like, you can call it back to like a specific meeting like that, but it's also wild to think that like there's a structure for that that's so explicit.
Yeah. Just
laughing, you got to be able to find a way to get some of these nuggets out while we're watching the damn film. Look at you go. No, I'm just saying it's just a little thing that I have things I can work on. I know it. Longer list than what you have to work on.
When I'm watching the movie, though, it's like, oh, I'm in my fields, and like just
I get it,
seeing
I'm just
it,
saying.
And like seeing it.
We
and,
want to hear from you.
Like seeing, making the connections between that and like what I'm seeing in real life, and then all the shit I've learned about and studied and stuff too. It's like it's just a little
practice
bit much
perfect.
When
you
we're watching the movies.
I really like at the end when James Earl Jones shows up for Charles. That's awesome. But it's funny, this time watching it, that he ends up, because he pushes him right out of the way. He's like, I'm going to protect you from this cop. But they do show, it's on the film, that he pushes him into another cop.
Yeah.
So it's like, you kind of can't win, but it was just awesome. And they talked about that in the commentary.
But you know what? When the last scene where they're like loading everyone up on the police wagon and going away, you know who's not on the wagon?
Who?
The kid who they're chasing. Charles or whatever.
No, he gets in.
He runs and gets into the thing. He's not in there.
I know, but he gets in.
I know. I just think it's
like, I thought why? You were going to say it reminds me of something, a movie that we watched, because it reminds me of the New Centurions. There's that scene with Mrs. Jefferson and all, because he rounds up all the sex workers.
And they drive him around and go get soup.
And having like a huge party all night and they're drinking. It's just funny. I think that's a great scene. It could have ended there. I like how they did end it.
Yeah.
But it could have ended.
Yeah. Pulling it back to like them all being out on the street and all being like released the next day or whatever, where they're like all together, was a great way to end that film. It wouldn't have shocked me if it ended right there with like a still shot of them like in the thing with people running after them or something like that. Cause that's.
But it would have been one of those like eye roll, like, oh God, 70s endings. rather than like the ending that it ended up having was like
being super sweet.
That was really good. Yeah.
I would have liked it either way. I like that the community is there, and like when we watched Cornbread Earl and Me, there was that too. But somebody got killed.
Yeah.
And when James Earl Jones in the commentary was saying that we specifically didn't want someone to get killed, it made me think of that movie.
Cause
it could have easily been that, and it
right.
Quite possibly and then it should have been, because that's basically what would have happened.
But then it would have been all about that and not all these other issues
that, makes sense.
That were not being dealt with in other movies.
And Cornbread Earl and Me existed at that point, so they didn't need to.
No, I don't remember which one was first, because this was, what, 1974?
Oh, isn't Cornbread 75? But anyway, it's
I don't know.
It's in that time period.
You
anyway.
Say something, I'm going to look at
yeah.
Also, who
cares? Who cares? No, but I mean, that community scene is one of my favorites of any movie we've watched, though, because he's just that killing happens and that kid just runs around and is like, fuck, they killed him. And 75. Everyone just comes, oh, I got it. Awesome.
I got it. You said it was before. I got it.
Well, I said I thought it was 75. I thought this was after 75.
Oh, well, you got it.
Yeah.
But also, Spook, who sat by the door.
Is that 75?
No, I'm saying for the sense of community and stuff.
Oh, yeah. But that's a much more manufactured, like, the community's there and it's organized, right? Versus, like, Cornbread Earl and Me, where it's, like, a moment where it's, like, that spark in a prairie fire where everyone's just, like, out and smashing cars and killing cops in the street because they're, like, this heinous thing has happened and it just can't go a second longer. Like this, and it's all inspired by that kid just running around in a fit.
Well, the other thing with Spook Who Sat by the Door, it was the community and the actuality of the filming of the movie.
Yeah,
was together because they paid money to get the movie to be made, and they were doing guerrilla filmmaking, and they were like, you know, making sure that they didn't get caught filming what they filmed without permits and shit. You know,
right.
Got together to make sure that movie got made, which is awesome.
It is fucking cool. Well, and you have what is it, that scene where they shoot the riot and they have to like calm everyone back down because they start shooting that riot and it starts going too far.
Oh no.
Bring out the cookies.
Oh my God. Yeah, whenever people ask me what my favorite movie is, I always say Spook Who Sat by the Door and Wicker Man. The original British version.
Yeah.
Wicker Man. Fucking. I don't think I've seen that.
What?
The original? Yeah, I don't know if I've seen any of it. I'll have to look at a picture, but I'm pretty sure I haven't. It's a horror movie, right?
Love it.
Kinda.
It's one of those. Right?
Yeah.
Christopher Lee? Is that right?
Yes.
It's a horror movie if like it, depending on your perspective.
So when they released it in the States,
a horror movie.
When they released it in the States, it's cut as a horror movie. When the way it's cut in for the British version is not. Much less so.
Interesting.
Which is also when they redid it with Nick Cage, I believe.
I refuse to see it.
Of course, because it's hot shit. But it's done as a horror movie.
It says horror mystery thriller.
What's the one? Oh, Midsommar. That's the
It is. Have you like seen that? Midsommar.
I haven't seen it yet. Because I didn't want to watch it by myself.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same.
Which what?
So we all watched Midsommar.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Midsommar is like.
I was like, let's watch it right now.
Midsommar is like a cross between Get Out and Wicker Man.
Yes, that's cool. That is actually a perfect synopsis. Well,
so I should watch Wicker Man first, probably. Yeah. But yeah, before yeah, I see yeah. Midsommar, that's see the what source that material. Sounds like.
It's a different movie, though.
Of all the oh, seven yeah, movies but, we've watched, that's but your still, number one.
That's crazy. Spook Who Sat by the Door.
No,
yeah.
And Wicker Man.
Yeah,
I like that you like it. It's not even my top 100.
What? Those are my top.
I
like.
I like that Victory likes it. I liked watching it with you, but it doesn't really.
Yeah,
do much
Spook.
For me.
Spook is my number one, and Wicker Man's my second.
I mean, you know, you smoke weed. You know, the songs are cool, but.
With every stroke.
Oh, by the way, is that in the karaoke selection?
What?
Willow's song.
Willow's song. How I mean, could a maid milk
here
a bowl
and now, I don't
with every
know if
stroke we'll, a bucket full?
But I'll have to look it up.
Really?
And it has to be the original 70s? Version.
Yes.
With a stroke in a bowl.
Oh man!
Such a great dirty line. I fucking love it so much. Only problem if you did that in karaoke, you'd have to strip naked and pound a wall, and that's...
You don't necessarily have...
You can wear, like, a flesh-toned bodysuit.
Stuffed cow? Giant stuffed cow. Have you seen... I mean, I have that big
what?
Triceratops.
What is happening,
man? It's like humans, you know, giant stuffed cow. You can just,
we
instead
have one
of
at
a,
our karaoke establishment. You're right. We have a giant stuffed cow.
Oh, she doesn't no. actually jack off a bowl. That's not in the movie.
It's just in the song.
Oh. Well, I'm just disappointed.
It's just a turn of... It's a dirty turn of phrase she uses in the song.
I have a blow-up saxophone in my karaoke bar.
It's a metaphor yeah. for what she's proposing.
Yeah.
Through the wall.
They sing a whole song about how before that about wanting to fuck the barman, the bartender's
the
daughter.
Landlord's daughter.
This has been your commentary on the movie Claudine. I might make my top 200. We're gonna do a list when we're done with all of this.
Well. Maybe
and
this
your
is...
list will be scrutinized.
Yeah, I don't doubt that probably... at all.
Yeah, of course, it's you.
Do we want to wrap up with some scores?
I mean, yeah. I might be pleasantly surprised at your list. I think your list is going to be great.
You would not like a list of anything that either of us made.
That's not true. I love
we
you
could
both.
List your favorite things and you'd be like, shut up.
That's not
that's
true.
That's not even anywhere near the coolest thing.
Not true. You're getting better now that you're actually watching a lot of 70s movies.
Victor, you
thank
you
for participating.
Do you want to start us?
But you don't get me at all. I love you both. You can't even, these people, see what I have to put up with?
It's terrible.
They don't even talk.
It's on the tape. If I make a list of anything.
Well, it'll be on the tape that I praise it, and then you'll feel bad. And I wouldn't want that, so we're going to have to edit that out. So you won't
have to find a letter. What is it, a letterbox? Is that what they do to
score those?
You're a letterbox.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's just like a movie ranking
yeah, well,
database.
I mean, I wouldn't, because they do that on another podcast, but I never get that.
Yeah, me either. I've never
like,
looked it up once.
Letterbox is when the two directors' vision is intact, so you can see both people talking in a scene, but it's just, they're talking about ranking all the movies that they watch.
Yeah, I think it's a
and they do it
database.
While they're doing it, and it gets silly, because the more films you watch, the more things get shuffled around.
Yeah.
I vote for when we're finally done, we can go through
just
all,
lay it out.
All of them.
Here's the movies we've watched.
Oh, God.
Rank them.
I actually don't like ranking things. I don't like my least favorite.
We
questions
understand
are,
this.
We understand what, this.
What
that's
is
why
your
you refuse to use a number system.
Anything. Exactly. Exactly. I also don't like when people ask me, what's your favorite anything? It instantly sends me spinning into doing this like elaborate fucking star chart of like shit that I like.
I was gonna give it a 10. Because I can't really think of something I don't particularly like about this film.
Yeah, I think I gave it a 10 on IMDb because it had somewhat of a low rating. And it was buried for so long.
But I can't even really think of something that I dislike. I like all the acting choices. The shooting of this is really beautifully done. Like we talked a lot about the shots where they aren't showing his dick.
and it's like butt. Yeah, you get to see
all these shots that
butt.
Are following him.
We
not,
love it.
It's just, it's like great. It's like all like groin things that aren't dicks. It's done fun. It's done interesting. The sound that you pointed out is done really, really well because like parts of it are shot where they can't even fucking hear each other and they still get the lines like outright.
Don't force large, yourself upon
larger message that is like really sharp and witty. Writing that is really crisp and back and forth.
You got it. I'm going to change my rating.
Victory?
Thumbs up.
Rose?
Yeah, I'm on the same trip. I was thinking about, like, I was trying to think about giving it a 9 earlier. And then what my thought with that was then what other movie is better and would be worth a 10 to compare it to, and the only reason why a different movie would get a 10 is for like silly reasons. so I think it should actually be at a 10, and a lot of it is because of that, like tackling an interesting topic that other people haven't, and there's a lot of like you have to have a really good innovative thinking to be able to do that and not have it be trite and have everything have right. like all the meaning that it's supposed to have, and to be able to have like to hit emotionally, but not so much that you lose everybody. Like this is that movie right. was a really tricky movie to make well. And they definitely did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
they
agree.
Knocked it out of the park.
Totally agree.
I'll give it a 9 point something. It's just, yeah! I still won't go
is
to 10.
Is this gymnastics?
What no, there's what? Just, well, I mean, you can do within the 9 system, 9 going towards 10, 9.1, 9.2.
I mean, you can make up whatever you want.
Giving it a 9. Yeah, we can do whatever we want here.
I know. Right.
But I'm saying too many prolonged scenes of beating Charlene for me to make it a 10. And she's naked, and I've been beaten up naked a few times in military school, and it's just... It's hard to watch, so it gets a 9. You can pull away from that shit. I don't want to be traumatized too
That's
much.
That's fair.
When
yeah.
I'm watching a film, Victory couldn't even talk during it. So.
Right.
Yeah. You pull it back to a 9.
I mean...
No, I'm sticking with 10.
But okay. also...
No, it gets
so
a 9.5.
real. Like,
it
that's
is very
so real.
And they're all very proud of it. Everyone was dying to talk about this movie in,
really?
In the commentary. But it's just crazy because it was buried for so long. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I went to where you used to work. at Goodwill.
They're at the Goodwill.
And I would just go buy books on film, and there was just a picture of this film that you couldn't get anywhere. Hmm. And I was like, what is this film? And I found it on IMDb, and it was just like unavailable for decades. And now finally it's available, and now, boom, it's on Blu-ray, and they just showed it at the Hollywood.
Oh, wow, really?
Like, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
I'm very cool. happy people are watching it. But it sucks that it was buried for as long as it was. E-racism.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. Folks, thanks for checking in with us and listening to our wrap-up.
Our ravings. Punk rock saved my life. listen to punk rock.
Once again, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at A Decade Under the Influence. You can find us on Twitter at A Decade Under the One. Please let us know your thoughts on Claudine. If you've seen it, we want to hear from you. Ratings and reviews help. Otherwise, have yourself a great night. Hey, what are you doing over there?
I'm beating off.